This is WSIU, powered by you. I'm Jennifer Fuller. This month, WSIU is taking a closer look at poverty. To start this series, I talked with Amy Terpstra, who's the Director of Research for Social Impact Research Center within the Heartland Alliance. I started by asking her, what is poverty?
Well, I would define poverty perhaps a little bit differently than the federal government. So the federal government defines poverty as a family of four living on less than about $24,000 a year. And the history of that poverty measure is really interesting. Dates back to the 1960s when a really bright, smart woman named Molly Orshansky at the Social Security Administration decided to develop a poverty measure, and she essentially took the fact that at that point about one-third of families' budgets were spent on food, and the USDA had kind of cost of food plans, and so she multiplied those cost of food plans by three to come up with a poverty line. But since then, family costs have changed so dramatically. Families don't spend a third of their income on food. We have always ballooning health care costs, housing costs more, and we have this huge expense of child care for so many families. So the federal poverty measure has become this really out of touch and out of date measure to really truly get at what it truly takes for families to make ends meet. So that's the official definition, is basically adding up all the family's resources and comparing it to this annual line, which is, again, $24,000 for a family of four. And if their income falls below that line, they're considered poor.
You know, you've touched on this already, but it's really easy to look at poverty as a game of numbers, whether it's the cost of food or the cost of housing or how much money you make. But this really affects people in their everyday lives in every single thing that they do, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, poverty really means it kind of translates into living without a lot of things. So when you're experiencing poverty, it's really hard to afford your basic necessities, food, transportation, childcare. But what that means is that ultimately, being on the brink of deprivation, your life is kind of this constant juggling act. So people are juggling work. And yes, most people who are experiencing poverty do work. Often people have more than one job. Maybe they're even in school, trying to figure out how to get their kids from point A to point B. So people who experience poverty experience this kind of poverty of time. They, you know, experience time deprivation. And living in poverty means jumping through a lot of hoops. You think about low-wage employers. They often operate on these variable schedules. So your hours and your days of the week that you work are always changing. And sometimes you don't even know until a few days beforehand what your schedule for the week is going to be. So you're just scrambling to figure out how to get your kids to school, to figure out who's going to watch them after school, you know, who's going to be there while they sleep at night. And then, you know, we have these different systems of help for people who are experiencing poverty. And, you know, in many cases, some really well-meaning groups and organizations that are trying to help people who are struggling. But often that means you have to check in with caseworkers, you know, all the time, and often at hours and at places that are convenient for the caseworker, not necessarily for you. Your privacy is regularly intruded upon by those folks asking for a lot of information from you to verify that you're kind of eligible to be helped. And so all of this is just amounts to massive, massive amounts of stress. And it is a different sort of stress than a lot of us are used to experiencing because it's sort of this literal stress of survival. And what that kind of stress does to your body and to your mind is really profound.
If someone were to try to paint a picture of a person in poverty, is there an age or a demographic that is common?
Well, the group most likely to experience poverty when we're looking at different age groups are children. And so I know in the state of Illinois, about one out of every five kids experiences poverty. And then when you start to layer on other different demographics, you see that children of color are the most likely to experience poverty. And in Illinois, over 40%, it's about 43% of black children experience poverty. And as you go through different age groups, you know, people who are of working age, 18 to 64, are well, I guess actually seniors are the most are the least likely to be poor, and working age people are kind of in the middle between children and seniors. But when you layer on again that lens of race and ethnicity and the lens of gender, you see that working age people of color and seniors of color are much more likely to be poor, and then women of color in those two age groups are much more likely to be poor as well.
Unfortunately, we're coming close to the end of the amount of time that I have, but I wonder how things like, you know, political things like the Illinois budget impasse affect people in poverty.
You know, the state budget crisis is truly a crisis that is hitting people who are experiencing poverty and people of color because they're disproportionately impacted by poverty the hardest. It is their crisis. And unfortunately, because these are groups that have very little political power and very little voice in the political process, our state legislators are just seeming to not care about the actual day-to-day lived experience that is happening as a result of state services being cut. The very things that are unfunded in the state budget are the policies and the programs that could help mitigate the very worst effects of poverty, that can help give people the assistance that they need to not only get by on a day-to-day basis, but to try and get ahead, to try and get a better job. And these things are just being literally decimated. And unfortunately, we're in a situation at the moment where it's not just like we're going to be able to switch the lights back on to human services after they've been shut off. There's real concerns about, businesses, nonprofits completely going under. And you can't just turn around when you finally decided to fund a budget and expect those groups to be there. And so this has, very clear consequences in the here and now, but it's going to have a ripple effect for people experiencing poverty for many years.
Amy, I sure appreciate your time. And I know people can find more information about Heartland Alliance at heartlandalliance.org, correct?
Yes, and visit ilpovertyreport.org for more information on poverty in the state of Illinois and by county throughout the state.
Amy Terpstra is Director of Research for the Social Impact Research Center at Heartland Alliance. You can hear more about what she had to say about the state's budget impasse and how it affects those in poverty and the social service agencies that try to help those people at our website, wsiunews.org. I'm Jennifer Fuller.